Now's in a time of rest. I think he needs some healing, and yet you're here today, brother. That's good. And it was suggested that we do something for young people and something about Israel, and I didn't know how to do either one of those, so I chose Daniel, which may apply to young people and may apply to the nation of Israel as well. Well, it indeed will apply to old people. And I highly encourage you men out there, if there is something that I say that can be debated or has a differing opinion, or if I'm just plain wrong, feel free to share things with me. I enjoy Sunday school time. It's time for me to learn from other people as well. And so just feel free to participate as we go along. So before we begin our time in Daniel this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this book. We thank you for the way that you raised up such a godly man and established him in yourself and caused him to walk righteously in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Thank you for his example. Thank you for the words that you gave to him to pen for us. And we thank you for the truth that is before us. And we pray that as we look into your word today, that your Holy Spirit would instruct us and that we would be built up in the most holy faith, that we would honor the Lord our God in everything that we think, say, and do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, today I was just going to go over an introduction, and I pray that these things, even though they will be quite familiar to many of us, that even just reviewing these things and considering these things will be fresh in some way as the Spirit teaches us. As far as the date that the book of Daniel was written, most of the commentaries I had said that the book started to be written in 605 BC, which was the first captivity of Israel to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. If you look on the back of your page, you see that there were actually three captivities of Nebuchadnezzar against Israel. The timeline begins with Saul and David and Solomon. You see the two divided kingdoms, and the northern kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity by the Assyrians in 722 BC, and the southern kingdom had these three judgments at the end of its line in 605, 597, and 586. And each time, Nebuchadnezzar would take some captives, and as it says on the timeline, 605 was the time that Daniel and his friends were taken into captivity. 597 was a second group of captives were taken to Babylon, and then in 586, Nebuchadnezzar destroys Jerusalem and the temple, and a final group of captives are taken in. So Daniel was one of the first group of captives to go into Babylon. We'll find out that that was a rather interesting providential event orchestrated by the Lord. Probably ends in the year 536 when Israel returned to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. And, of course, that means that this would cover a length of time of about 70 years, the time that Israel was supposed to be in captivity for their failure to keep the Sabbaths. The author is Daniel. What's interesting is at the beginning of the book, he talks in third person as though someone else were writing the book. And then he begins to speak in first person in Daniel chapter 7, at least in verse 15. He says, "As for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me, and the visions in my mind kept alarming me." So eventually he starts speaking in first person, and I would have thought the liberals would have had a heyday with this and said, see, there were two people who wrote Daniel, but the common Terry's that I read said that the liberals have no problem with Daniel being a unified book, that there was one author written at one general time period, but it seems like Daniel changed from third person to first person. References about Daniel that are interesting in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14, beginning in verse 12, Ezekiel says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness, and I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it, and cut it off from it both man and beast, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, by their own righteousness they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord." So Ezekiel, who was a contemporary of Daniel, spoke of Daniel as a righteous man. Apparently, Daniel had made quite a name for himself in Babylon by the time Ezekiel had written this. And then in Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus is giving the Olivet Discourse and discussing end times, many people would say that Daniel is the key to prophecy because it will explain the references in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, it says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand." So Jesus said Daniel wrote this book, and Ezekiel mentions Daniel. Daniel would have had to have at least lived at the same time as Ezekiel, maybe even before Ezekiel, but we would say he's a contemporary of Ezekiel's, and that will be important to understand in a minute when we look at the attacks on the book. The meaning of his name, Daniel, means God is my judge. That's an interesting name, considering that the nation of Israel was under the judgment of God during Daniel's time in Babylon. He was taken captive in 605 BC. He was probably 15 years old. He saw the return, though it's not agreed upon, or it's not concurred that he went back with the people in 536. He probably just witnessed a group of Jews that went back in 536 BC. Key events in the book, and these are the historical events. In chapter 1, Daniel refused to eat the king's food. In chapter 2, he made an interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which led to Nebuchadnezzar building a golden image. In chapter 3, his three friends got put in the fire. In chapter 4, there was another interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and that led to Nebuchadnezzar's insanity. In chapter 5, he interpreted the handwriting on the wall for Belteshazzar when his kingdom was taken down. And in chapter 6, there's the den of lions. So some very familiar key events in the book of Daniel. Each chapter has a particular familiar story to it. The attacks on the book is, the first attack is that the book was written around 175 to 163 BC. This was when Antiochus Epiphanes was in power, and they say some individual wrote this book so that the Jews could have some sort of hope in the midst of this atrocious oppressment by Antiochus Epiphanes, and he used the history of Israel and the working of God in the nation of Israel to try to comfort the people during the horrible reign of Antiochus Epiphanes. And we'll talk more about him when we get to that prophetic part of the book. They say that the prophecies are too accurate. The fact that there was Babylon, then Medo-Persia, then the Greeks, and then the Romans, and how all of these came about in exact sequential historical events, that was just too accurate, that it couldn't have happened. So somebody had to have written it at a later date instead of a 600 BC, maybe around 175 BC, and he looks back at history and he says, these are the things that happened, so now I'm going to write them down. They also say that Persian and Greek words are used that a person in 605 BC would not have known. And so they say Daniel couldn't have written at that time because the language that he uses doesn't even pertain to that time period. And also the Aramaic that he uses, and we'll talk more about his use of Aramaic in a minute, but the Aramaic language that he uses belongs to a later time. In other words, it belonged back in the 700s or 800 BC, and he's writing in 600 BC, and there should have been a different Aramaic that he used. Well, the answers to these objections, the fact that the prophecies are too accurate, if God gives a revelation to somebody, it will be accurate. So there's no problem with understanding that the prophecies are too accurate. That's funny, isn't it? God was too accurate. He's too accurate for men, but he's not too accurate for himself. So the prophecies are supposed to be very accurate because God is the author of this book ultimately. The fact that Persian and Greek words are used. Well, Daniel did live when the Persian Empire came into existence. And there were Greek mercenaries for the Persian army, and there were Greek mercenaries, or not for the Persian army, there were Greek mercenaries for the Assyrian army back in the 700s, and there were Greek mercenaries for the Babylonians. So it makes sense that maybe being taken captive by some Babylonian soldiers, they had learned some Greek words, or maybe had some Greek mercenaries, that Daniel would have learned some Greek words. So it's not entirely out of the ordinary that Daniel would have used some Persian and Greek words. And the Aramaic belongs to a later time. What's interesting is Daniel was put in the high court of the high officials. He was a noble individual. He was one of the rulers. And the rulers spoke different than the common people. And they found this through archaeological digs, that there was what was called an imperial Aramaic that the nation of Babylon spoke. And it was a higher form of language that may have been spoken by the normal people years ago, but was being spoken by the noble people at the time of Daniel's captivity. Sort of like when people in England would speak Cockney or that strange British accent, somebody would ask them, don't you know the Queen's English, the High English, the good English? Well, Daniel knew the good Aramaic, and that's why he spoke and wrote in that kind of language. Israel's history up until this time, and I have, just a little time chart on the back to show you that there was Saul, David, Solomon, and a division of the empires, or a division of the kingdom. But let's go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. Now it shall be, this is God speaking, or Moses speaking, God speaking through Moses. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you will obey the Lord your God. Now, if you just sort of cursory look at verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. They begin with the word blessed. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beast and the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Blessings and blessings and blessings and blessings and blessings until you get to verse 15. But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe, to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country, and cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. God made promises. If the nation of Israel would obey, there would be blessing. And if the nation of Israel would not obey, there would be curses. Daniel lived to see the nation of Israel extend their disobedience to such an extent that the curses came upon the nation of Israel. So much so that we read some sad stories in the history of Israel. The book of Judges is filled with Israel going into captivity and being taken captive by foreign nations and repenting and coming back. But in 2 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse 4, it says, "But the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, who had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and had offered no tribute to the king of Assyria as he had done year by year. So the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria invaded the whole land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 weeks. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and carried away Israel away into exile to Assyria and settled them in Hala and Habor on the river Gozan in the city of the Medes. Now this came about because the sons of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods." There is the result of sin. The cursings came upon the nation of Israel. The 10 northern tribes were taken into captivity. And it says here, in the 9th year, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and carried Israel away into exile, into Assyria. And after 2 Kings chapter 17, there are no more kings of Israel. There are some more kings of Judah, however, David's line. But in 2 Kings chapter 24, beginning in verse 11, it says, "And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to the city while his servants were besieging it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and the captains of the officials. So the king of Babylon took him captive in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried out from there all the treasures of the Lord, of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, just as the Lord said. Then he led away into exile all Jerusalem and all the captains and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land." Now, this is what happened in 597. At this time, Daniel is already in Babylon. But this is the captivity of 597. And then, perhaps one of the saddest chapters in all the Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 25, it says, "Now it came about in the 9th year of his reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, camped against it, and built a siege wall around it. So the city was under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah," 2 whole years. "On the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine was so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land." If you read in other places, they were even eating their children. "Then the city was broken into, and all the men of war fled by night by way of the gate between the two walls beside the king's garden, though the Chaldeans were all around the city, and they went by way of the Araba. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they captured the king and brought him to the king of Babylon at Riblah, and he passed sentence on him. And they slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and then put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with bronze fetters, and brought him to Babylon. Now on the 7th day of the 5th month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the king of the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. And he burned the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Even every great house he burned with fire. So all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls around Jerusalem. Then the rest of the people who were left in the city and the deserters who had deserted to the king of Babylon and the rest of the multitude, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away into exile. But the captain of the guard left some of the poorest of the land to be vine dressers and plowmen." Every house burned, all the walls torn down. even the house of the Lord and the king's house, every great house he burned with fire. Sin has its consequences. And in spite of the fact that God is a very patient God and was very patient for a long period of time with Israel and even a longer period of time with Judah, judgment finally came, and it was severe. Then we have Daniel being taken into captivity around 605 BC until 536 BC. And that's where we have the book of Daniel and the events that led up to the writing of the book of Daniel. Divisions in the book of Daniel, the most commonly divided or common way to divide the book of Daniel is chapters 1 through 6 are historical, and we even went over what things happened, like the refusal to eat the king's food all the way to the den of lions. Those are historical things that happened to Daniel and his friends. And then chapter 7 through 12 is apocalyptic, where Daniel receives visions about the end times. There is a second way of dividing the book up, however, by the language that is used. And in chapter 1, the introduction, Daniel uses the Hebrew language. And then in chapters 2 through 7, he writes in Aramaic, which would be the language of Babylon, the language of the Gentiles. And some people say this is because he's talking about the times of the Gentiles and even the nations that will come after Nebuchadnezzar and after the Golden Head and so forth and so on. And then in in chapters 8 through 12, he returns to talking or writing in Hebrew. And this would be an indication of him speaking about Israel and Israel's part in these times known as the times of the Gentiles. So why did God inspire Daniel to write such a book? Well, after reading 2 Kings chapter 17 and seeing Assyria's judgment on Israel for their sin, and reading 2 Kings chapter 25 and seeing Babylon's judgment on Judah for their sin, isn't it amazing to find a young boy, the age of 15, being truly and wholly dedicated to the Lord his God? He was so righteous that Ezekiel mentions him in Ezekiel chapter 14. He was so well known and so known for his righteousness that a contemporary prophet of his mentions him and says that even if he were in the land, his righteousness wouldn't spare the land. His righteousness would only spare himself. And we see this true dedication to God in the life of Daniel, in the life of his three friends. And so in the midst of some deep and dark and horrible times in the life of Israel, we see that God still has his remnant who are true and who are dedicated to him. We also see in this book God's care for his people. And there's much in here about how God will care for the nation of Israel and how he will restore the nation of Israel, and even Daniel's prayer after the 70 years that the nation of Israel would return to their land. Therefore, as we look at God's care for his people, it was certainly written as a comfort for the Jews. The Jews must have been very down and very depressed. There's even a psalm where the captives are singing this song, and they're saying, the Babylonians are telling the Israelites, sing one of your songs for us. And the psalmist says, how can we? How can we sing our songs when we're in captivity? So it's a time of great distress and grief for the nation of Israel. But this book is written in hopes of comforting the truly believing Jews. And then even for us, when we get to chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, the apocalyptic literature has truths that are written about the end times that are still yet to come. And so we have a book that will be interesting and hopefully exciting as we look at what has been revealed by the Holy Spirit through his servant Daniel. Any comments or questions or amendments or corrections?
Amen, brother.
All righty, well, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And let's either read our memory verse, peek at our memory verse, or recite our memory verse. I will be doing the peeking method.